Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my...
Vulcan.
I was gonna say Vulcan. Yeah, I was gonna say Vulcan, but I was like, "You're not really, because you laugh."
That's true.
Yeah, my science officer Frank. How are you?
Hey,
how
go.
Are you, science officer Frank?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, very well, very well.
Yeah, I mean, science officer stuff. There's three nautical light years off the port side is a thing.
Mr. Frank, you know what? You know what this is. You know, this is not what you're supposed to do.
We're both really bad at this.
three nautical ropes.
three nautical light
this
years.
This is nonsense. Well, this is the podcast where Frank and I discuss things that we love, and you probably do too. And so let's sit back and tell me about your beer.
Ah, okay. So this is a new one. Never tried this before. This is Dogfish Head Festina. It's their seasonal. It's a limited edition for the summer. Festina Peach or Peach. I'm not sure how to pronounce that actually.
Peche.
But it is an ale. It's a Neo Berliner Weiss. So it's like a wheat beer. Brewed with peach juice.
Berliner Weiss. You taste so good in my mouth. Small and white, clear and bright.
You look happy.
I was going to say something different about the
right,
beer,
cool.
But that's fine.
Anyway, yeah, so it's a Berliner Weiss brewed with peach juice, and it's delicious. It is tart and refreshing. I think that's accurate. It's like my favorite new summer beer.
This is really good.
This is really good.
It's not as tart as I thought it was going to be because you said it was tart.
The guy at the beer store told me, like,
The beer emporium.
No, the guy at the liquor store told me, you know, it's pretty tart. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll give it a shot. I'll try it.
Oh, yeah.
And
no.
I really like it. It only comes in 4 packs. I'm going to go pick up another one, I think, before it's gone, though.
This is so good. I'm so happy you bought this. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. I like to try new stuff. And once in a while, I'm pretty happy I did.
I'm actually going to keep talking. I'm going to take a picture of this so I don't forget to buy it.
All right.
I mean, I guess I could talk and take a picture at the same time. Like I just
nonsense.
Did. I just did it.
Did you?
I did.
That's
Do you want to see the picture?
No, I don't believe you.
All right. Well, you know what pictures I did see?
What?
Moving pictures. I just rewatched the two J.J. Abrams Star Trek films, Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness, because when this release, Star Trek Beyond will release today.
Mm-hmm.
Filming a few days before. I'll have actually already have seen Star Trek Beyond by the time that this podcast comes out.
I probably will have too, actually, yes.
Are you going to go on the Thursday?
I think I probably will.
Oh, good. Text me.
I will.
Yeah. Yes. It's got, as of right now, Star Trek Beyond, last I checked, was sitting at 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Everyone says it's insanely fun, and it's like a return to form, and it's if you like the original series, you're going to like this movie. Like, I'm hearing really good things. I'm trying not to read...
93%. It went up
3%.
Sitting at 93% as of right now.
That's amazing. I'm like really, really excited for this movie.
Me too.
In a way that like, I hope I don't get let down. But because those first two movies, especially the first one, like you know,
so good.
You know how much I love the first one.
So good.
It's Metacritic only has it at 71%. That's interesting.
I never check Metacritic. I only look at Rotten Tomatoes.
I usually do too, but lately I've been looking at Metacritic more. That's interesting. Anyway,
not all reviews are in yet, though. They're still forming consensus.
Yeah,
so because the film's not out yet,
right?
So
right. Yeah, good point. Good point. But yeah, so the 2009 Star Trek. So I was always into Star Trek. Not a huge Star Trek. I was never a Trekker. I was never like really, really into it.
Before we even get into that, you say Trekker. I know that's the term we're supposed to.
Yes, that's why I say it.
Anytime I hear Trekker, I prefer Trekkie. It sounds more fun to me.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, I understand, like, oh, you're a Trekkie, you're push up your asses, right, whatever. Right. But I think it sounds more fun to be a Trekkie of something that
I agree.
Like, for Star Trek, then, you know. Like,
but if they prefer to be called Trekkers, then who am I to?
It's funny because I was listening to a bunch of, like, different stuff, and the consensus was, no, I prefer Trekkie.
Oh, that's
like,
funny.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like a badge of honor kind of thing. It's not so much like, oh, no, I'm a Trekker. Don't compare me with those Trekkies.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was it was an interesting. I never heard it that way before, but I prefer Trekkie. But we can each say each one, so whoever's listening to
there you go.
So you're not a huge Trekker.
I'm not. I never was. But I enjoy a good Star Trek story now and then. I've always enjoyed the original series. I watched a lot of that when I was growing up. I had a teacher who was obsessed with Star Trek Voyager, so I watched some of that as a kid.
You've told this story before. Yeah.
On the podcast. So yeah, she was like obsessed with Voyager, and she named all the kids in the class. She gave them nicknames that were character names from the movie. It was very weird. But she was a nice lady. And so she, you know, introduced me to a little bit of Voyager. So, like, that was all cool. But then this movie came out, and I was like, oh, cool, new Star Trek movie. Actually, when I first heard about it, there were rumors that, I think this was like an old script, abandoned script, that it was going to be like, oh, the Enterprise is like a scrapped NASA project that we never heard about.
I remember that. Yeah,
that was like an early concept, but like that was the rumor that got out that that's what the movie was going to be. And so I was like, I don't want to see like NASA building the Enterprise in the 60s. Like, that's,
yeah, right.
I don't like that. So I wasn't that excited about
it. Actually, I do kind of want to see that, but not as a Star Trek canon movie.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I would read that alternate universe comic book.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I would
comic
do.
Book
I would read that Elseworlds Star Trek comic book. Yeah.
I'd be all over that.
Yeah.
But as like a canon Star Trek story?
No.
No, thanks.
No, not interested.
Nope. So then I saw the trailer and I was like, wait, this looks really good.
Right, yeah.
And then it came out, and it was so freaking good.
It was even better than the trailers.
It was way better. It was
because that first
good.
Trailer for that first movie was just them building the Enterprise, right?
The
it was
teaser.
Like shot. It was the construction shots of the Enterprise, and you saw it. It was over. And if you weren't a big Trekkie, then it was fine. I mean, it's like the Enterprise. You know, like we all.
Right.
You know, like whatever.
Music, we all know.
Yeah. Star Trek has, I think, the original theme, the next gen theme, the Michael Giacchino themes. Like, it has multiple points where you can point, like, all of these were good.
Yes.
All of these are hummable.
Oh, yeah.
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 Which is almost unheard of.
It's true.
Almost
it's
unheard
true. It's,
of.
Throughout the franchise, it's pretty amazing music.
Yeah. Well, for one franchise to have that many different main title musics and all be different, but all be really good. That's what's unusual. Because, I mean, like, Star Wars has great music. I hit my microphone. I was very excited.
Very animated.
Star Trek has great music across the board, but it's all Star Wars, all one franchise. You know, like, this is...
Oh, Star Wars, yes.
You know what I mean? This is, like, there's been, like, reboots and relaunches and all this stuff, and the music is constantly like a part of it. It's great.
It's great. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Giacchino score for that first movie was so good. And I still will listen sometimes when I need to like buckle down and just do some work, like at my job or whatever. When I was in college, I'll put on that soundtrack. I have the expanded deluxe edition. That's like two or three discs. And that'll get me through like whatever project I'm working on. Or I wrote a lot of essays in college listening to that.
Oh, I believe it. Especially with the... Yes. Where you're just like, yes, I'm typing so furiously. Yes. Yeah. This is great.
Enterprising Young Men.
Well, let's go back to the first film. One of the greatest opening sequences of a film in the past, I'd say 10
man,
years.
With the Narada and the Kelvin. And
yeah, it sets up its universe so perfectly and kicks it off on such a high note. I compare it to the opening sequence of A New Hope. Like, it sets you up on such a breakneck pace right from the get-go. Because, let's be honest here, Star Trek 2009, J.J. Abrams film, is basically A New Hope. right?
Yeah, I think we've all seen like the videos that show like how it's basically the same structure.
It's the same structure. It starts with a big space battle, and one ship is bigger than the other ship, and like massively bigger, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, it's huge!"
And the farm boy has to embrace his destiny.
And then it slows to a snail's crawl in a good way, but like it slows down, and then there's the planet destroying weapon, and like it is that structure. You don't really think about it when you're watching the film,
right?
But it has the same New Hope structure. But there's no problem with that because it's just the hero's journey. It's just the hero's journey. There's nothing, you know. I want to say there's nothing special to it. A lot of films do it, but it's a proven formula.
Yes,
and I have no problem revisiting it almost every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. It's so so good. That whole movie is just, it's beautiful. Like, I've watched it, I've seen it more than I've seen most movies. Like, I've seen it upwards of probably close to 50 times.
Really?
Like, probably close to 50 times in the last 7 years since it came out. Like, that's a hell of a lot. I don't rewatch movies very much.
No, you don't.
And if I do, it's like for the second time.
Right.
And then there's certain movies that I grew up with and when you used to watch a lot as a kid, and maybe someone used to watch once a year, 1776, something like that, right?
Right.
Once a year. But I've seen it many, many, many times. That first couple of years after it came out on DVD.
Yeah, Blu-ray, I remember you watching it a lot. Death.
And I saw it like four times in theaters. I've seen it a bunch
now,
of times.
Now, we've talked previously about how you're more of a sci-fi guy and I'm more of a fantasy guy. And Star Trek is not fantasy. It's pure science fiction.
Pure sci-fi.
But I still love it. But I'm curious, from your point of view, why do you think I love Star Trek so much, even though it's not fantasy per se?
I'm going to guess.
Because I do love science fiction, and I don't want to be like, it's not all like swords and sorcery.
I love
science fiction, and I do pinpoint a lot of it. I just, you know, sometimes it depends on my mood or the particular type of world. But Star Trek is one that I particularly love the world's universe, I guess.
So the thing about Star Trek is that, especially classic Trek, is it's Gene Roddenberry's outlet for philosophy, right? He always teaches a lesson. It's always a parable. Every episode is a parable.
That's right.
And every movie, even, is sort of a, you know, there's some kind of a parable to
but
it.
But Captain,
kind of,
what does it mean to be human?
Right. Yeah. Right. There's like that kind of stuff, always. It's always exploring the human condition, right? Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. So I think that probably might be a piece of it that appeals to you a lot. I think the idealized, like, it's the future and everything's, there's no more wars and
there's no more money.
There's no more money. Right. Yeah. All these things, like, we're just an idealized humanity. You know, the capital of Earth is Paris. And like, it's just, we have this beautiful, perfect society of shiny, happy people. And, the only time war happens is out in the neutral zone, you know, like that's that kind of stuff. That's a great future to...
And, you know, those are all the reasons that I do love it. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Man, do I love being a turtle.
I thought you were saying being a turd, and I was like, okay, that's me.
No. But...
Give yourself more credit than that.
Ninja Turtles 2, The Secrets from the Ooze. Man, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Man, do I love being a turtle. No, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm really sick of dystopian futures.
Oh, yeah.
Stories with dystopian futures. Like, I'm tired of it, especially when you, like, look around today's world, and you're like, well, that dystopian future was right, and that one was kind of right, and they got this thing right. And so rarely do you look at a utopian future story and been like, they got this right, they got this right,
That's
they
right,
got this
yeah.
right. Sometimes it's true, but it's maybe not always for the right things. And so Star Trek is like the epitome of, you know, like, where, you know, it's like even the crew of the Enterprise or Starfleet in itself, it's not an army. They're explorers. Like, they're a whole group of explorers.
That's right. They're not an army.
Right. Which is awesome. Cause I mean, the Abrams films and a lot of the films, actually not even just the Abrams films, but all the next gen films, they're really action movies. But the television shows are really dramas.
Yes.
You know,
it's much more philosophical. It's much more cerebral.
I think it always throws people off. Like, if they go to watch Star Trek 2009 and they're like, oh, there's a lot of action in this movie. I love it. Let me try one of the television shows. And they watch it and they're like, why are they just standing there talking?
Yeah.
Because that's what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was for. It was very much, especially the original series, was like the Twilight Zone. But
right.
Or, you know, like one of those were like episodic.
President Lincoln. You're my hero.
Yeah. It's like telling a little fable with every story. Mm-hmm. But you're right. The movies are much more like more about lessons and life lessons like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, none of the movies don't have lessons.
But they have a smaller dose of lessons and more action, just like the show has a bigger dose of lessons and less action.
And so there's something always for everyone.
Right.
That first movie though, I think is a great character piece of those. You know, just because it's an action movie doesn't mean that any of those members of Starfleet, you know, your Kirks and your Spocks and your Uhuras and all of that stuff, they don't feel any less like the characters that they should. You know, their actions and their words are perfectly cast, I think.
Yeah.
In those things.
Yeah, I think, the cast is awesome, and, like, that carries through to the second film, too.
The cast, yes, but Into Darkness is not...
The movie is not as good.
It is not...
It's not as fun.
It's not as fun. It's dark. It's certainly a darker film.
Yeah.
People always try to do the Empire Strikes Back thing, where, like, it's a darker film, and they're like, but people forget that Empire Strikes Back is still a fun movie.
Yeah, like, it's still an adventure.
Yeah, you know? Stuff happens, sure, you know, but it's still, at its core, a fun movie.
You have them being chased by the Empire through the asteroid field and like this stuff. Like it's exciting adventure stuff.
Right, exactly.
It's not just like, oh,
the escape from the giant space slug.
Yeah. I've never got a spaceship. Not ever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's from Robot Chicken Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Okay. So there's fun to be had that Into Darkness didn't have. And I just rewatched both of them. I watched Star Trek last night and some of Into Darkness, and then the rest of it today. And I'm not a huge Trekkie the way that, you know, and you're not a big Trekker the way that a lot of people are. But I liked Into Darkness when I saw it, and I watched it again. Mm-hmm. I still like it.
I like it.
I think it's still a well-ish constructed movie. Yeah. It looks good. Yeah. It's got good action. All of the pieces are there. It's just not having fun with itself.
That's right.
The way that the first movie clearly was having fun.
Yes. And I think a big thing, honestly, it still bothers me. A big thing that took away from the fun, to a certain extent, was the whole he's not Khan thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's not Khan. You know what? Guess what? You know, when he turns to camera and says, I am.
Yeah, like you promised, like I would have been much happier if they said, guys, we're doing Khan this time. Like I would have been much happier with that.
The thing with Khan in that film, and I mean not being a huge Trekkie in itself, like when you watch Wrath of Khan, the second Star Trek movie, and spoilers for movies that's really old, you know, when Spock dies, even if you're not a huge Star Trek fan, you still feel the weight of that death.
You know how important that is.
But it doesn't feel earned in Into Darkness because through the first movie and then the second movie, they're kind of at each other's throats the whole time. Not the whole time, but like their friendship is kind of weary still. And so like they learn to be friends by Kirk dying in Into Darkness.
Right. Just doesn't have the same impact. Plus, you know that Captain Kirk is not going to stay dead.
That's also an excellent point. But they kept Spock dead for a good chunk of time. Like, there's a whole movie devoted to...
The search for Spock.
The search for Spock, i.e. Star Trek 3.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just not earned the same. It's almost like Batman v Superman where their fight almost isn't earned. Or like in Civil War... When Tony says to Steve, you know, like when Steve says, you know, like, sorry, Tony, he's my friend. And Steve says, so was I. Like, you think back, okay, I've seen you guys in like, what, like 13 Marvel films. And you've been in four, like a couple of them together. I don't know, three of them together.
Age of Ultron was the only time they acted like friends.
And even then, they still were at odds with one another a good chunk of the time. And so at that point, you're like, I'd hazard to call you friends. You're certainly teammates, and you're certainly colleagues, and you definitely respect each other.
Sure,
but I would hazard to call you friends.
Though you haven't shown me that.
Yeah, and although we throw the word friend around kind of willy nilly in the way that we don't anymore, or you know, just
my
like,
good friend William Nilliam.
Yes, exactly, William Nilliam, the
known as Willy Nilly.
Willy Nilly, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that dumb joke threw me off. like the word love, you know, like I love when sidewalks are made of brick.
Do you really love that, though?
Do you really love that, or do you just have strong feelings of like towards it? Do you like it?
But yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it didn't feel earned. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Overall, the second movie is less fun. Into Darkness is less fun, but it's still, you know, a pretty good sequel, a pretty good middle chapter. It's like middle chapters can either go, you know, like this is the highlight, it gets way better, or it can kind of go like,
it dips. Yeah.
And then they kind of find their feet again.
Some characters do things like out of, like, so the whole beginning of that movie, right, is them stopping the plugging, like stopping the volcano from exploding on the ancient civilization, right?
Right.
And the whole time, Spock is like, don't be seen, it's against the Prime Directive, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but you even stopping the volcano is against the Prime Directive.
Right.
And so like, a lot of his actions in the first quarter of the movie are against the Prime Directive, which he is stating is against the Prime Directive.
Right.
So it's kind of like, it's very torn.
Yeah, they like kind of pick and choose
what it wants to do.
Well, this Spock, in general, people have said, people who, my friend April, who's a big fan of, of Spock, lifelong fan of Spock, always says, like, it's good, but it's not my Spock, because, like, they made this a much more emotional Spock.
He's more plugged into his human side, whereas the original Spock, Leonard Nimoy, is more plugged into his Vulcan side.
Right.
I personally like that, because then you get both versions, and you get to, you know, like, hang with whichever one you want, because there's so much material of Leonard Nimoy Spock out there.
That didn't go away. You can go watch that whenever you want.
Between the show, the films, when he appeared in other shows,
and two movies
of the reboots, there's so much of that of Leonard Nimoy,
hundreds of hours.
Yeah, then I don't mind a more emotional Spock running around.
Yeah,
and
I enjoy it. I acknowledge that it's different. It's not the original, and that's fine. Yeah. And to diehard Spock fans, that's gonna come a lot harder to them, right?
Yeah.
It's like hard to see the character they love not be the same.
Well, they're also younger. And so, like, when we meet Leonard Nimoy Spock, he's matured already.
Sure.
He's already at that point.
True.
So you don't know what is.
They could bring it there.
At this point, we don't know what Beyond is going to bring us. Yeah,
but it's a different timeline.
That's right. They say things are different.
Are different. So that kind of makes it okay. I give it kind of a pass in that sense. But it's in general, I think, a really fun reboot. You know, it's now been 7 years. We've had two movies, almost three. And
four has already been announced.
Can we talk about that
for a second? I only want to talk about.
Skip ahead like 30 seconds. Skip ahead like a minute if you don't want to hear about this.
Yeah, let's do a minute starting now. Star Trek 4 has already been announced, like confirmed. We're making Star Trek 4 starring Chris Hemsworth, reprising his role as George Kirk from the first Star Trek film.
Right.
That was his first cinematic role.
I know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then, like, the next year he was Thor.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because I remember when he was cast as Thor, and everyone was like, oh, yeah, Kirk's dead. That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Yeah,
right. I remember that, too.
Yeah, it was real good.
And I was like, oh, he's Australian? Whoa.
Yeah. Well, I remember watching Star Trek 2009 for the first time. I was like, who is that guy?
He's captivating.
He's very captivating. Yeah, he is. I love Chris Hemsworth.
He's
great.
That's true.
I'm very excited for that.
Me too.
I know some part of it might feel like we're on, it's Chris Hemsworth and he's a star. We should get him and all that.
Yeah.
But I don't care because I love the idea.
They'll probably do time travel, I'm guessing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But
really cool.
I love the idea of the team up.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's the end of our minute. If anyone doesn't want to get spoiled, I don't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Do you have more to say?
No, it's fine.
Give it another 30 seconds.
No, it's fine. I'm good. Don't do it. Yeah.
Don't open Pandora's box.
You might miss something important.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I'm really excited. So, you know, Justin Lin directing this movie. Written by Simon Pegg.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested. I was a little nervous when I heard Simon Pegg was writing it, only because
Simon Pegg's a great writer.
He's a great writer, but he also brings a lot of nerd baggage to things. Sometimes he has a lot of opinions on, like, you know, let's say, like, Star Wars and stuff like that. I hope he doesn't bring too much of like this is what I think Star Trek should be.
Well,
like,
his opinion was that it should harken to the original series a little bit more,
which
than
it sounds. It sounds like
it has, from the reviews right now, 93%. It is working in its favor.
Yeah. So I'm glad. And Justin Lin has a great, you know, track record as a as a director, literally track record.
Fast and Furious. That was funny.
That was racing.
That's a $1 billion franchise.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. I mean, so it's Transformers, but still, you know, $1 billion franchise. So people were concerned with those trailers with Justin Lin because, you know, I was like, he's on a motorbike.
Like so what?
He's on a motorcycle in the first movie, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, what's the problem?
I thought that was overblown, the worries about the first trailer. I was like, why are you not?
Trailer's not always indicative of a movie either. Right. Like, some trailers amazing.
Yeah.
And then because they showed you all the good stuff in the trailer.
Right. That happens a
lot. And then a lot of sometimes trailers that are kind of so-so and they show you a lot of the same material means because they're hiding stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't want you to spoil the movie.
They don't
want to
give it away.
Yeah. Which I'm more in favor of.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch a trailer and go, well, I'm going to see it anyway, so it doesn't matter to me if the trailer's so-so.
Right.
And I'd rather hear good word of mouth.
Yeah, sometimes, yes, good word of mouth always matters more. Sometimes the trailer will sway me away, like, maybe I'll just wait for it to hit Netflix.
I'm
on the edge anyway, but I know I'm going to see Star Trek in the theater. There's no doubt. So
for sure. Yeah.
It's fine. Well, I think that might kind of bring us to our time. So any final kind of closing thoughts before we wrap it up?
What do you think about their uniforms?
The new uniforms? I like the redesigned uniforms.
I do too. I like the many variations of the redesign. Like, you get, like, no matter, there's this official officer's uniform, and there's, like, we're going aboard uniform, and then, like, on the bridge, and we're in our comfy long t-shirt uniform.
And the lounge uniform, and then the beach uniform.
Right. Yeah. So many different types of uniforms.
They're very regimented with their uniforms.
I think every time I watch it, though, like, actor's dream almost right there, where you're like, you're playing a known brand character. You're gonna make good money for playing that brand character, and your costume is a long sleeve t-shirt.
womp womp.
Right. You know, like, where other characters, where, you know, you get like poor, you know, something like, let's say, Ben Affleck, who's in like the cowl for 13 hours a day, he can barely hear or see, and it's super hot, and they're like, yeah, I'm just gonna roll up my sleeves for a little bit because I'm feeling a little toasty. Yeah, but you know, I'm in a long sleeve t-shirt in an air conditioned space. So who's to say who's winning? But it's probably Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's probably Chris Pine. It's true. Chris Pine is a really good Kirk.
Yeah, Chris Pine was also really what made him too.
Yeah, that's right. That was kind of one of his. Princess Diaries.
Princess Diaries 2. Get it right. Yeah. And Zoe Saldana came out of this on top. Now she's Gamora, so she's got two franchises under her belt.
Two big ones.
Yeah. There are others. Zachary Quinto didn't...
He was from Heroes.
He was already kind of big before he was for a couple years. Being cast. And then there's Alice Eve was in the second one. She's great. I'm drawing a blank.
R.I.P. Anton Yelchin. That was so sad.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. That was so sad. That was really sad.
Yeah.
Really, really sad. I was actually watching these two movies, and then seeing him was more upset. I was more upset by it than I thought I was going to be.
Yeah.
Because he's not an actor that I was, like, following closely by.
Yeah,
and then, you know. But I just, yeah.
It's sad.
Let's wrap up. Out of these two films, and the core Starfleet crew of the Enterprise, who's your favorite?
Kirk's your favorite? Yeah.
Such a bad boy.
Kirk, sorry. He's just super cool.
Okay.
Just super, super cool dude. The banter between him and pretty much anybody is always really fun. Him and Bones, him and Spock, him and anybody. It's always a blast. So I love the Bones Kirk relationship a whole lot.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
I might throw up on you.
That's right. Num tongue.
I can fix that.
So good. My understanding is that somewhere in Star Trek Beyond, Bones has like the line of the movie, and they say you'll know it when you hear it.
You've heard that?
I've been told. I don't know what the line is.
Oh, okay.
But I've been told by I've seen critics who said like there's this one line, like the funniest line in the movie belongs to Bones. You'll know it when you hear
Bones
it.
Is my favorite, actually. Yeah. Carl Urban.
Nice.
I love Carl Urban awesome. Stuff. He's great in everything. But Bones is my favorite.
Cool.
I love Bones.
Good pick.
So good at everything. He's just I love Bones. He's so cynical.
Yes.
And
so sarcastic.
Just like just fuming for no reason sometimes.
Right.
And I love it. You know, like, Spock, you saved me.
Or and I had something to do with it too, you know. so good. I've heard reviews for Beyond that said that the Spock and Bones relationship is actually one of the best parts of the movie.
Oh, awesome. Good.
Yeah, because they're...
Good.
A slight spoiler, but not really because it's in the trailer. But, you know, they're all stranded on the planet in different spots, and they're the two that are stranded together. And he said that stuff is some of the best stuff in the movie.
That's great, because I love...
Bones can barely keep it in when Spock's around as it is.
Right.
And so for them to be stuck together is something else.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I've loved how all the promotion kind of looks like original series stuff. It definitely excites me. So I'm looking forward to it. And by the time this comes out, we both will have seen it. So
yeah, it's cool. Maybe we can talk about it next week.
Maybe we can.
Maybe
we'll see.
We can.
We'll see if we can
make
it work.
Maybe we can't.
We'll see.
We'll find out.
See how we can do it.
Okay.
Anyway, you want to tell people where they can find us on the interwebs?
They can find us at BearWithGeeks at Twitter, Facebook, and Gmail. You can rate and review us on iTunes, Satchel Media Player, Overcast app, and the Google Play Store, and all other places that podcast can be found. You can also find us on our website, beerwithgeeks.com, which will conveniently direct you to the podcast, because that's what we do.
Hey.
Hey. Whoop-a.
Hey, yo.
All right.
All right.
Well, until next time.
Cheers.